Thanks for listening. The following audio is a teaching from Calvary Tucson's Young Adult Ministry, Ignition. For more teachings, information, or if you'd like to support our ministry, please visit us online at ignitiontucson.com. We pray you're blessed by the message.
So at this point in the historical account, things seem super bleak. We've read basically the godly line is thrashed because Cain is banished and Abel is murdered and there is no other offspring. So things seem very hopeless until we dip into verse 25 here. It says, Adam knew his wife and she bore a son and called his name Seth. For she said, God has appointed for me another offspring instead of Abel, for Cain killed him. You see, there's still pain there. She's still grieving. They're still grieving the loss of both sons. Verse 26, to Seth also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. And at that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. So as Adam and Eve, they continued to grieve and mourn over the loss of their sons. Both potential sons through whom the promise of salvation could have come, they're gone. They're out. There's no one there to fulfill Genesis 3:15. There's no offspring of the woman because Cain is forsaken and ungodly. And the only other man that they had was Abel. Until God provides. Their hopes are revived as they give birth to another son. And they name this son Seth, which means appointed. So what this shows us is that as they have another son, their hope in God revives. Their faith in God's promise is revived. That this young man will be the one God appoints. So remember Cain's name. It meant acquired by God because they had the same idea. This man would be the one through which salvation would come. Well, they've adjusted that thinking a bit, but now they're realizing through Seth that hope is reborn. That hope will continue, that God is still at work. So Seth has his own son, Enosh, and the godly line begins to gain momentum. They're seeing God, they're seeing Seth. They're seeing him walking in godliness. Then they see his son following this lineage, this godly lineage, and hope is growing in the nation. Hope is growing in this people group. And it says that at that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord when they saw these two godly men, these figureheads for God's promises. They called on the name Yahweh. You notice that in your Bible? It's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's called the Tetragrammaton. That means it's the word Yahweh, the name of God. Now remember this. We talked about this a few weeks back, that Elohim is the general name for God. As you look throughout Genesis chapter 1, the God of creation, like to have general understanding of God, his name is Elohim. Non-believers, people who didn't know God personally, people who didn't know God's promises, would use the word Elohim. Yahweh, however, Yahweh is God's name that is associated with his promises, associated with his covenant, with his word. So it was used by people who knew God personally. Yahweh is a significant name because it's used by those who knew God's word and believed God's word. So when it says that they turned to the Lord Yahweh, it's saying that they returned to the hope of the gospel. They returned to the God of the promises, the God who keeps his promises, the God who in Genesis 3:15 said that he would raise up an offspring to defeat the kingdom of darkness, to defeat the serpent. This is the effect that Seth and Enosh brought to people. They brought hope. They helped people believe again in God's salvation. They got people excited again about God's word. Because of who they were, because of what they represented, and because of how they lived. And I want to ask you, does your life have that same effect? What do people feel when they look at your life? Does your life remind people that God is still at work? Can people say of you, yeah, God really has his hand on that woman. God really has his hand on that man. Is it evident that God is working in your life? Does your life represent the gospel? Does your life show other people that the gospel is effective? Or is it the opposite? Do you bring discouragement to people? Man, I think there's nothing more effective in the hands of the enemy than someone who claims to be a Christian and doesn't live like it. What a discouragement. Yeah. To think, man, I think Jesus might have something for me, and then to bump into one of these kind of so-called Christians who profess to know Jesus and they quote Bible scriptures, but then they're out getting high or getting drunk or sleeping around. And it's like, dude, if Jesus was all he said he was, you wouldn't need to be getting high like that. You wouldn't need to be sleeping around like that. Man, the enemy loves people like that. What does your life say? Are you an encourager in the gospel, or are you a discouragement? And the outcome will be determined by whether or not you live out God's word, whether or not people can look at you and say, that person believes God's word is true. I can see their actions. I see how they talk. They believe. That's the encouragement. That's the encouragement Seth and Enosh brought. And we see this very clear contrast in this really obscure section of scripture, right? Between a godly line and an ungodly line. And I want to close with somewhat of a personal testimony, guys. I was fortunate enough to have a real clear example before me in my own family between a godly heritage, a godly line, and an ungodly line. I got saved when I was 19, and it was when God really brought me to this crossroads in my life. And I had two very influential uncles that God was showing me these two different paths. One uncle, he was very inconsistent in my life because he was in and out of prison. He professed to be a Christian, but he didn't live like a Christian. In fact, he lived very ungodly. And he brought a lot of hurt to the family because of his decisions. It amazed me because he knew the Bible. Like, this uncle knew the Word of God. And he, as an ignorant 15-year-old, he was the cool uncle because he was the one that would buy me beer. He would give me pot, you know. In fact, he gave me pornography, and I wish it never happened. I wish I was never exposed to that junk. But this was his influence in my life, this ungodly lineage. And he, truth be told, was the uncle I was emulating. But I had this other uncle. In fact, some of you know him. He goes to Calvary Tucson here. Bill Stone, that's right, Bill Stone, and he showed me what it meant to be a godly man. I could see Uncle Bill's life, and I could see the hand of God on his life. I knew that he loved God, that he honored God. There was something blessed about his home. When you'd go to his home, when you'd be with his family, there was a purity in his home that I just loved. There was a care for his children and a care for his wife, and I knew it was because he loved Jesus. And I wanted, even then, when I was running around partying and living an ungodly lifestyle, I knew in my heart of hearts that's what I wanted. I wanted what Uncle Bill had, but I knew I was living like my other uncle. And so I came to this fork in the road at this point where the uncle that was in and out of prison earlier that year that I turned 19, he passed away. And he died of HIV from drug use, right, from sharing needles. And it killed him. I think he was in his late 40s when he died. And never before in my life had I been faced with death so close. I'd never known anybody. I was never that close to somebody who had died. It was always like happening in other people's families. It was always happening on the news, never in my world, in my circle, or in my family. And for the first time, I was really aware, wow, death is real. Like someone I knew was gone. And I wouldn't see them on earth again. And so I was really pondering my own mortality. And God brought me to this question. Sean, what path do you want to take? I've clearly set before you these two lifestyles. Right. I've set these examples before you. Which one do you want to take? Right. I knew which one I was on. And I knew which one I needed to be on. And so at that moment, I chose the godly line. I chose to follow my uncle's example. I chose God's word. That was 17 years ago. You can do the math and see how old I am. And I'll tell you guys, I haven't regretted it a day since. It hasn't always been easy to walk with God, and I haven't always been completely godly and successful in it, but I don't regret a day of it following Jesus. And you won't either, guys. What's cool about this is I later found out my uncle, he had a godly uncle. He had actually a lot of uncles, but there was one in particular that actually stood out that shared the word of God. His name was Everett. And he wasn't a blood-related uncle. In fact, his blood-related uncles were like some good old boys. They were into partying and smoking and military guys, kind of rough around the edges. But Uncle Everett, he loved the Lord. And so he'd always tell Uncle Bill when Uncle Bill was a kid, hey, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? And I heard about that as a part of Uncle Bill's testimony. And I was like, that's so amazing. My Uncle Bill, he's not a part of my paternal lineage. He's my mom's brother, right? It's typically your father's line that's significant. So he isn't even technically in that significant lineage for me. But I saw this godly lineage that God was working through these families who had ungodly lineages, but there was this remnants of men that were representing Jesus Christ. And I knew that's what I wanted. I wanted to be a part of that. And so when I had my firstborn son, I named him Everett William after the two uncles, after the godly lineage, just as a way for me to say, I want to be a part of the godly line. I want my children to be a part of the godly line. Now, I don't even, truth be told, know a whole lot about my father's side and that lineage. And from what I've heard, it's a lot of ungodliness. But for me, because of Jesus Christ, because of the cross and the redemptive work of the cross, I can say, I choose this godly line. I choose this man and this man and this man to be my lineage. And those are the men I'm going to follow. And you can choose that too. You might not have such a clear example in your life, but you have many examples in the scriptures. Just pick up the word of God and you'll see these examples. Just like what we've seen tonight, all throughout the Bible, it's riddled with godly versus ungodly. This line versus that line. And I want to ask you guys, what path are you on right now? What human history are you representing right now? If you were to be lumped in with one of these godly lineages, which one do you think the Lord would lump you in with? And I want to close by saying one path, guys, one of these paths have hope and one doesn't. Right? One of these paths has eternal purpose and the other does not. Realize that. You can chase after power, pleasure, shade, like Lamech, but you need to realize that you might even be successful at it. You might even get everything you thought you wanted, but you need to realize the hope of that path ends at the grave. Your hope will be snuffed out and you will experience outer darkness. However, you can surrender your plans to God. You can choose to allow God to appoint you to his plan like he appointed Seth. And you can be someone who's used to impact the kingdom of heaven, guys, to make an eternal difference with your life. And the choice is yours. Choose wisely. But I want to tell you, the investment, you will not regret anything that it costs you to follow Jesus Christ when you see the outcome eternally. I don't know if you guys have ever seen Francis Chan's sermon where he has this huge rope and he's got like 2 inches of red tape on the end of that rope. And it's like, these 2 inches are our existence. It might even be a long life on earth, these 2 inches of red tape. But eternity goes on. And I think the rope even went like backstage. You couldn't see the end of it, right? Eternity keeps on going. And he's like, you think I'm crazy because I live for all of this? I think you're crazy because you focus so much on this little 2 inches of existence. So realize, guys, the lineage that God has for you, the godly lineage, is one that carries on beneficially into eternity. But the ungodly lineage of Lamech, as fun as it might be, as pleasurable as it might be, it ends at the end of that 2 inches. And then it's God forbid, it's torment for eternity. It's the opposite. And so that's where I want to leave you with that choice. If you guys would stand, and I'm going to pray for you. So Father, we do thank you just for the warnings of Scripture, for the examples in Scripture. Thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord. None of us here are perfect. None of us have pure, sinless lineage. We've all been wrought with sin. We've all been handed down patterns of sin, thought processes that are wrong and incorrect. And so we, right now, I just acknowledge, Lord, my need for grace even today, that I need to continue to choose the godly line. I need to continue, Lord God, to place my faith and trust in you. I need to run this race well, Lord God. And so I look to you, Jesus, as my Savior. I pray that the men and women standing before me now would consider the words that have been spoken over them and to them, would consider these lineages, would consider eternity as they make their next plans in life, Lord, that they would choose the godly path that they would cut themselves off from the ungodly influence and choose to walk down your path of redemption, the eternal path. No longer live for the kingdom of the United States. Live for the kingdom of whatever they're building, Lord God, exclusively, but that they would include your kingdom, that they would live chiefly, primarily for your kingdom. And we thank you, God, that the work of the cross makes this available for us to do this. Lord, that we can put our faith and trust in Jesus and become new creations and be set on a new path and change the course of history, change the lineage for our children and for our grandchildren. We can set a godly legacy for our future. And I pray that they would choose that this moment right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey there, Pastor Sean here with Ignition Tucson. Just want to thank you so much for tuning in, for listening to our teachings. If you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, after listening to this message, if you want to choose the godly line and the godly heritage that Christ offers everyone, if you desire to be a new creation, we would love to hear from you. I'd love to connect with you and give you resources to start your faith in Christ on the right foot, start strong. Reach out to us. You can email me directly at Sean, S-E-A-N, at calvarytucson.com. If you are listening on the radio, we invite you to head over to Spotify and subscribe to our podcast. You can stay up to date on our teachings. You can even listen to our previous messages going through the book of Genesis, the series entitled Multiplied. And lastly, I'd love to invite you out to worship with us in person. We meet every Thursday at Calvary Tucson's East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco in the coffee shop. At 6:30 p.m., we fire up the espresso machine and give out some good coffee, some lattes. Then at 7 p.m., our church service starts. We would love to have you out. We'd love to see your face and to meet you in person if you haven't been out. Now, may God's grace overwhelm you. May you grow in the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is, and may you allow the Word of God to transform your heart and your mind this week. God bless you.